Ephesians chapter 6. In a moment we'll read verses 1 through 3. We have seen in these days that our society in some ways is growing more violent. A number of us have seen the need to buy guns and ammunition and take the required class to get the license and are now preparing to defend ourselves and our children with deadly weapons physically. Well, you know, a few lines down from where we're studying in Ephesians, we'll read about armed defense spiritually, against spiritual attacks. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Everyone knows that to use a weapon well, whether a sword in ancient times or a firearm in these days, you need to learn how to use it. You need to understand the principles and be shown how to wield it by someone who is already good at it. Then you need to practice with it, becoming more and more proficient in its use. The same is surely true of using the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It occurs to me that in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, we get a look at, as it were, a master swordsman using the sword of the Spirit expertly. If we look at those verses in that light, we can get in some good weapons training, learning how to wield that mighty sword of the Spirit ourselves for our own spiritual defense and the spiritual defense of our families. We see here that in this New Testament letter, one of the Ten Commandments is quoted. And in a way, the entire Ten Commandments as a code is quoted because the place of that one in the ten is referenced as important. We can see here how the Lord's Apostle Paul understood the Ten Commandments and how he used them. That provides us a reliable guide to how we should understand the Ten Commandments and how we should use them. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Let's see how this master swordsman, the Lord's apostle, wielded the sword of the Spirit as part of our training of how to wield it ourselves. We see here that the Ten Commandments are not considered by Paul to be part of the Old Testament law that's now abolished. You know, there are many sayings in the New Testament scriptures, especially in the writings of Paul, that people wrongly understand as meaning that the Ten Commandments would no longer be in force. And so Christians in the church should not preach, teach, and obey the Ten Commandments. For example, in Paul's writings, he writes, "You are not under law," Romans 6:14. "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Galatians 5:18. "If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And so the Bible says, you are not under law. In Paul's writings, also says, "Love is the fulfillment of the law." I'll read for a moment from Romans 13 and verses 8 to 10. "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." Paul also wrote, "The law is not made for a righteous person." 1 Timothy 1, 8-9. "We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person." So there are three sayings that are not made up by any false teacher. They are the actual sayings of the Apostle Paul. You are not under law. Love is the fulfillment of law, and the law is not made for a righteous person. I'm not going to try to go into correctly expounding all of those verses right now. I'm just quoting them to point out to you that whatever Paul meant by those sayings, he did not mean that the church is no longer to preach and teach and obey the Ten Commandments. Because we see here in Ephesians chapter 6, he preached and taught the Ten Commandments himself. So, go and study and learn what those phrases do mean. They all mean, in general, that there is no thinking that you have to earn justification in God's sight by your works of law keeping. That salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. Justification is through faith on the basis of his righteousness, not on the basis of any righteousness you could earn. But in detail, go and study, learn what they mean. But don't take them to mean that the Ten Commandments are no longer to be taught and obeyed, since the same person who wrote those sayings taught the Ten Commandments himself. Note also there that taking a verse in context, you know, by now anybody who's been to church a few times knows that you have to understand the verses of the Bible in context. Doesn't mean just make sure you read the whole verse, or make sure you read the verse right before and right after, although of course that's helpful. In this case, it takes reading widely in the Apostle Paul's letters to make sure you take in all that he wrote, to make sure you notice that in some places he quoted the Ten Commandments, and then you know that he must not mean the Ten Commandments are abolished when he makes these other sayings. Reading something in context is more than just reading it with the previous and following verse. You know, there's a theory that any authority that the Ten Commandments have for the Christian and for the church comes from them being reiterated in the New Testament scriptures. A whole interpretive theory, the idea that the Ten Commandments, yes, they are for the Christian, but only the ones that are repeated in the New Testament, and because they are repeated in the New Testament. But I think it's easy enough to see in the verses we're studying, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, that Paul is not doing that. He's not mentioning a commandment to give it authority. He's mentioning this commandment referring to its authority. So that theory, I don't know it all in and out or all that's right or wrong about it. But I reject that theory on the basis of what we see in Ephesians 6, if nothing else. You know, we see here in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, an example of just what our Savior said in the Sermon on the Mount, that the Ten Commandments are to be taught in the time of the New Covenant. He said, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law, till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And so then what do you find? The apostle that the Lord Jesus sends to us Gentiles, what does he do? He teaches the commandments, just as the Lord Jesus said should be done. You know, the Lord Jesus did not mean the system of ceremonial worship with animal sacrifices, nor the commandments about holy days or clean and unclean foods or any of those things. Because all of those kind of things, the Lord Jesus, in his death on the cross, did abrogate, did pull down. But those matters that are morality for all mankind, commanded in the Ten Commandments, and expounded and applied in the prophets, those things aren't don't change. They're not abolished by the Lord Jesus coming. So here in Ephesians 6, Paul quotes the Ten Commandments. Paul didn't think that Jesus had come to tear down the Ten Commandments. He taught the commandments and is called great in the kingdom of heaven. We see here that we Christians, I was going to say, so there is, as it were, you know, one lesson in how to wield the sword of the Spirit, to understand that the Ten Commandments are not part of the Old Covenant law that has been abolished. Here's another lesson in wielding the sword of the Spirit. We see here that we Christians are to teach the Ten Commandments to our children. I'm not going to say much about this here, because you know in verse 4, the scripture talks about parents raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and I hope to talk more about this then. So I'm not going to say that much about it, but I just wanted to mention it, just in case there's an idea in your mind that children should not be told the righteous requirements of the law, as if all that children really need to hear is God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You know, that's not true, that's all they need to hear. Or maybe not even primarily what they need to hear. They need to hear God's command for all of us, including you, is thou shalt do this and shalt not do that. Knowing the righteous requirements of God then is the means many times by which the Holy Spirit convicts them of themselves as sinners, convicts them to fear God instead of man, and all kinds of good things. So see here that our Lord's apostle, in saying one thing specifically to children, quotes and appeals to the Ten Commandments. Here's a third lesson, or a third point in our understanding how to wield the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We see here that we're to use the Ten Commandments to know what's right and demonstrate what's right. Notice how the Bible reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." In today's society, as also in other places at other times, many people insist that there's no such thing as right and wrong, or that what is right and wrong is right or wrong because it's agreed on by the society for now. And in that mindset, people get to where basically the only thing they think of as wrong is for someone to tell them that they're wrong. Well, that's definitely wrong, because nobody should say that anything's wrong. So somehow then that means that if you say that that's wrong, then that's wrong. It doesn't make sense, of course, but it's a mindset that has become popular, I suppose, other places and times too, not just here. But you see here in the scriptures that whatever crazy moral code the society adopts, Christ's church knows what is right and can show what is right by reference to the Ten Commandments. Is it right for pregnant mothers to have an abortion? Well, the Supreme Court said so, and there's some large body of opinion in the society that it's right. But it's not right. The Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill. Is it right for people to just move in together instead of getting married? No. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Is it right for people to just do whatever they please on the Lord's day as if it's no different from other days? No. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Is it right for people who don't want to work and won't work to vote themselves other people's money from the people who do work? No, the Bible says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. Is it right to expect and train children to obey their parents and to obey other people in authority? Yes, because the Ten Commandments says, honor thy father and mother. So there's another lesson in how to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in defense of ourselves and our children spiritually. We see here also another lesson in how to wield that sword. Because we see how we are to teach the Ten Commandments. We're to teach them with the marvelous gospel of Jesus Christ attached, or especially prefaced to it. You know, we're in Ephesians chapter 6. We spent weeks, months, years going through the first few chapters where the Apostle Paul went on and on saying, give all glory to God for how he has saved us by his grace through Jesus Christ. Went on and on explaining that, telling how God had sent him an apostle to declare that wonderful mystery all to the glory of God and for our salvation. It went on and on. And we weren't being told a thing to do except just give all glory to God. Then, remember, we stood on the doorstep at the beginning of a chapter. He's just about to start telling us what we are to do. But the gospel of Jesus Christ was rehearsed thoroughly before we ever got to that. And really, that's the ancient pattern that God set at Mount Sinai. I'll read to you from Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. God said, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, etc., I did all of this for you. Now, thinking all that I have done for you to save you, now hear my commandments and obey. And then a few lines down, the beginning of Exodus 20. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and then the Ten Commandments. That's the pattern that God himself set at Mount Sinai. Sure, sinners may be told, this is God's law, and you are in violation of it. You are in need of salvation through Jesus Christ. Yes. But when you're talking to God's people about obedience to his commandments, it's not obey, 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 this is the law, obey, obey. It is. Here is all that God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Therefore, here are his commandments and obey them. In the Great Commission, the Lord Jesus Christ said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In another place, saying it in a different way, preaching forgiveness of sins in my name, to all nations. And then those who have believed and are baptized, then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so when we are to teach the Ten Commandments in Christ's church, we are to teach them with the gospel attached. And we're to teach them applied to each person or group's particular situation. The actual commandment in the Ten Commandments is, honor thy father and mother. But the application to children is, children, obey your parents. You know from hearing the Lord Jesus Christ rebuking the Pharisees, that when you are old enough that your parents are old, and they can't do for themselves anymore, and they start to be in need, then the application is, provide for your elderly parents, pay their expenses if they need it, do for them what they need done for them. And so the commandments are to be taught as applied to different individuals and groups according to their situation. You know, the application to servants is, servants, obey your masters. Because honor thy father and mother is rightly understood as God commanding that all who are under authority are to honor those who are in authority over them. The commandment to servants is, servants, obey your masters. The application to wives, as we have seen, is, reverence your husband. The application to all of us regarding the government is, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, honor to whom honor is due. The application to Christians in the church is, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. And so when we teach the commandments, just the bare reciting of the commandment is not all, but the applying each commandment and all of the commandments to every group or class or individual according to situation. And they're to be taught with their promises. You know, there's a wonderful general promise that comes in the Ten Commandments after the second commandment, that God shows mercy to thousands, understood to mean thousands of generations. God shows mercy to thousands or even thousands of generations to those who love him and keep his commandments. Now, there is a general promise that should be understood whenever the Ten Commandments are preached and taught, that God shows mercy to those who love him and keep his commandments. And to the commandment we're studying today in particular, there is a commandment which the apostle mentions. To honor your father and mother, God has attached a promise specific to that commandment, that it will go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. And the way that the apostle knew to say that promise to Gentile Christians when it was originally given regarding the land of Israel to Israel, I hope to make part of our study next time. But you see that the commandments God gave with promises, and so when we teach them, we should teach them with the promises, as the apostle did here. You know that there are many people who want to be... Let me pause, because what I meant to do at this point was to just mention each of those again to keep them, to help get them into the mind. The Ten Commandments are not part of the Old Testament law that is now abolished. We Christians are to teach the Ten Commandments to our children. We are to use the Ten Commandments to know and demonstrate what is right in a society whose morality has gone crazy. And we teach the commandments with the gospel and as applied to the particular situation and with the promises that go with them. Now, there are many people who want to be teachers of the law, who think themselves expert swordsmen, who wield the law well and would like to give you lessons in how to wield the sword of the Spirit well. They want to be teachers of the law, but they don't know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Many who have set themselves up as teachers of the law in that way have turned whole households upside down, teaching what they ought not to teach. Either they teach that not just the Ten Commandments, but all the Old Covenant law must be obeyed by Christians, or they teach that not any of the laws expressed in the Old Covenant should be taught and kept, including the Ten Commandments. It seems like you can't go a day, or you can't walk a step, or you can't talk to two people before you hear someone who is all excited about the concept that love is the fulfillment of the law, we don't need to deal with the Ten Commandments anymore, especially the Sabbath commandment, because now it's just all love your neighbor. as if you don't need any more help than that. Told to love your neighbor, you'll do everything right then, because you don't need any of those extra explanations or anything. Or it doesn't seem like you can go the next day or the next step without running into someone who wants you to obey the Passover and eat only clean foods and whatever else. Please understand that there is a ditch on the left hand and the right hand in this matter, just like everything else. Now, a lot of us are into things that are associated with the way that we have had our hearts turned to our children. Part of what the Lord said would be done in the preaching of John the Baptist, continues to be done in all the preaching of repent, is that the hearts of the fathers are turned to their children. Mothers also. Many times mothers don't need as much heart turning to their children as fathers do. But a lot of us have been strongly affected by that. We are being quite attentive to our children compared with the standards of the world and even of the churches around us, compared with how we used to live or how we were going to live. We are much more attentive to our children, to their church attendance, to their education, to their knowledge of the Lord. And you know how in that circle, it's not that big of a circle, it's kind of a small world. In that circle, it is very popular notion to give a lot of attention to the old covenant ceremonial laws. You see this pop up all over the place. A new book comes out, a new conference speaker speaks up, another blog article is mentioned somehow or another. The requirements to Israel in the old covenant that are not matters of universal morality but were distinctives of that covenant are pressed on Christians. All the wonderful things that will come to your children if you observe the Passover, all the health benefits of eating only the clean foods and all of these things, this gets pressed on you from several directions, especially in this circle where a lot of us move and have friends. Take great care regarding that you don't listen to someone who so confidently affirms such things. If someone so confidently affirms such things, understand, he wants to be a teacher of the law, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay? Now, on the other side, the theological system that, if you know what to call it, is called dispensationalism, has come to dominate the Christian landscape in America over the last 50 to almost 100 years. And in that system, there is the insistence that the Ten Commandments was a code only for Israel, distinctive to Israel, so that for all the strength of the Bible church movement, for all the wonderful contributions and influence of the Bible churches, like the big ones like Denton Bible Church and the wonderful long-serving pastor there, and the rest of that movement centered around Dallas Theological Seminary, for all the good of that movement, they have done a tremendous disservice to the people of Christ's churches by insisting that the Ten Commandments is not a universal moral code, but was only for Israel and was abrogated when the Lord Jesus came, not for Israel, they would say, but for the church. Please understand that whenever you're dealing with Bible church or dispensationalism, that's part of what you're dealing with there. Also understand that even among churches that might say Reformed Baptist, there is a theological theory called New Covenant theology. Doesn't sound like there should be anything wrong with that, does it? But under that moniker is that concept that the Ten Commandments was a code only for the Old Covenant and is not to be thought of as a code applicable in the New Covenant. And so please understand that you know, right nearby in our ideological kinsmen, you know, in the other people who take, who give great attention to the education of their children, and in the other people who would believe according to the doctrines of grace, and others who would be conservative in their views, right next door on either side are those who would dismiss the Ten Commandments as a code. So, my dear friends, take care there. Understand how susceptible you are, how each of us is to these things. Your flesh still is sinful until the Lord Jesus comes back. Your flesh is still waging war with the Spirit in you. Your flesh loves the commandments of men and hates the commandments of God. Now, people who've been to church a lot, and especially those who know the Lord Jesus, are not really that susceptible to adopting as commandments, commandments that just have nothing to do with God, but commandments that God himself gave in the Old Covenant through Moses, that are now abrogated. We are no longer to follow them. They were only for the Old Covenant system. Your flesh likes those. They are not the commandments of God for you to follow. Therefore, your flesh likes them. And the devil has a lot to work with there, because you can open the Bible and point to them. There they are. Don't eat these foods. They're unclean for you. You can read that in the Bible. Therefore, you're highly susceptible to being led astray at that point. Your flesh likes it. If you can have commandments and you keep them, and they're not really God's commandments, and you can then feel self-righteous, feel superior to other people in law-keeping, take care there. Resist the imposition of commandments of men, and be especially resistant if you see that their commandments expired with the expiration of the Old Covenant. And in any dealing with the Ten Commandments, hold firmly to the truth that we cannot be justified in God's sight by any obedience of ours to the law. We are to obey the Ten Commandments. Take care you don't think we can be justified in God's sight that way. The Lord Jesus both obeyed in our place perfectly and took all the punishment that we deserve for our disobedience. So all our justification in God's sight is through His law keeping, not ours. And justification comes to us by faith, not by our works. So while holding firmly to justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, understand that those who are justified not by works of the law are now commanded to know and do the works of God's law. Not unto salvation, not thinking we are to be justified by that, but out of love for and gratitude toward God who has saved us. Who is it who has saved us by His grace? God. Whose commandments are these? They're His. If this is what He has commanded, then who wants more to obey them than we do? We love the Lord's commandments and want to obey them. We love to learn and to learn to obey all things whatsoever Christ has commanded us. So whenever you encounter God's law, as we are encountering it here in Ephesians 6, let your response to God's law not be to think that you are to keep it to be saved. And let it not be to think that you're keeping it just fine and God will think you righteous on that basis. But to see how that law sets a perfect standard that you have not met. That law you are a breaker of, in need of salvation by someone who has not broken it, the only which person is our Lord Jesus Christ. So here have been some lessons in wielding the sword of the Spirit for your own defense and the defense of your family, and some cautions as to how not to be harmed by it yourself as you use it. And now let me conclude with a beautiful statement by John regarding God's commandments, 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father, loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Have victory over everything in this world that would cause you to rebel against the law of God. And in love for God, obey his commandments. Amen. Let's take this to the Lord in prayer.